water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart for the gift I am bringing. While you are seeking me, I will be found. Oh, everyone that is thirsty in spirit, oh, everyone that is weary and sad, come to the fountain. There's fullness in Jesus. All that you're longing for, come and be glad. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart for the gift I am bringing. While you are seeking me, I will be found. Child of the world, are you tired of your bondage? Weary of earth's joys, so false, so untrue. Thirsting for God and His fullness of blessing, list to the promise, a message for you. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart for the gift I am bringing. While you are seeking me, I will be found. Child of the kingdom, be filled with the Spirit. Nothing but fullness thy longing can meet. 'Tis the endowment for life and for service. Thine is the promise, so certain, so sweet. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart for the gift I am bringing. While you are seeking me, I will be found.
All right, amen. That was good. Praise the Lord. What a blessing that was. I appreciate that wonderful song. Take your Bibles now. Turn to the book of Joshua and chapter number 24. Joshua chapter number 24. And I'm going to begin reading here in this passage of Scripture in Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 14 and read down a few passages and hopefully be a help and a blessing to you this morning. Being that it's Father's Day, I'll give a challenge to the fathers. And if there's one thing we need in our country and our churches are more fathers that have a desire to be used of God and to lead their families in the way of the Lord, the way that Joshua, as an example, was a leader of holiness, godliness, and righteousness. Amen. And that's a type of leadership that we need in our churches in America today. I appreciate the opportunity to be here once again. I'm thankful for this church. I appreciate its testimony and stand for the Lord. I've known Brother Angel for many years, and I appreciate him and his steadfastness. And I've been preaching revival 31 years. I run into a lot of preachers, and so it's a blessing to be able to know Brother Angel, and not just as a pastor, but as a man, a Christian, a friend, a great husband, and a wonderful father. And I'll be praying for him in that situation that he's going through. That's not always a pleasant thing to have to go through something like that. And so, but what a blessing and what a thrill it is to be here this morning. And God has been good this year in the revival meetings that I've been preaching. And last month, I was out in Oregon for 2 weeks. And, of course, that's a different time zone. And then last couple of days, I was over in New York. And, of course, you know, that's another 3 hours time zone. And now I'm back in the central time zone. But I'm not going to allow any of that to affect me. And so who knows what I'll be saying this morning. Amen. But anyways, praise the Lord. But it is good to be here. And God has allowed us to see over 350 people saved in the revival meetings and the evangelistic crusades and the door-to-door campaigns 2017. God is still in the soul-saving business. I know a lot of churches gotten away from soul winning. Door-to-door, confrontational evangelism, and encouraging, compelling, exhorting people to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. No greater joy than to be used of God to see somebody ushered into the family of God. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? And we ought to never lose our enthusiasm for wanting to be used of God to get people saved to the glory of God. Amen. And that's what differentiates true biblical Christianity from religion. Amen. And independent fundamental Baptists. And I know many of them have gotten away. But thank God for this church. Still believes in soul winning. And reaching people. Running buses. Amen. And so I promised not to tell any stories on Michael. But I lied. 1 John 1:9 is my life verse. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? So I turn to that verse several times a day because, you know, I'm a sinner. And so sometimes I lie. But no, I'm just kidding about that. About telling the story of Michael. No, I do lie. But you know, we're all sinners saved by grace. Amen. But thank the Lord for that. But here in the book of Joshua, a tremendous passage of Scripture, Joshua, the man with a plan. Amen. And how God used this individual in the great and mighty way. And if we as God's people, especially men, God called men that have been established and appointed and anointed by God to be the leader in our homes and in our activities and the different places on positions that God allows us to be a part of. We ought to determine in our hearts to be that man of God that God wants us to be. Amen. To be the man of God. And that's what we need. Society today is being overrun by women. Now, I didn't get a whole lot of amens on that one. But I watch TV and there's a woman, you know, she's interviewing a baseball player. And she's interviewing a football player. What does a woman know about playing football? And, they're interviewing, all these different places and different things. that are happening today and just being overrun. And why is that? Because where's the men? Amen. Thank God for godly women. I mean, beauty is deceitful, favor is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. And thank God for the impact, and thank God for the influence of women and all of that. But I'm telling you, what our country needs more than anything else are some Spirit-filled men of God that'll determine in their hearts to be used of God, to lead us in the way that God would intend for society to go and families to go. And we ought to determine in our hearts to be that type of individual that God has ordained, that He has appointed and anointed, amen, us to be the leaders. Now, I believe the reason why the country is going the way that it's going and churches are going the way that they're going is because men are not stepping up to the plate and being the man that God wants you to be and the father that God wants you to be. Now, that will make a difference in society today. Amen. And the Bible says, Joshua 24:14, "Now therefore fear the Lord." Amen. He called all the people, but He called the leaders and the judges, and the men and all of that together, and said, "Fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Amen. That's a good admonition for us. As men, as fathers, husbands, leaders, in the position that God has established in the Word of God. And verse number 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve." Amen. And that's the admonition. That's the command. I mean, that's what God, that's what Joshua recognized. Oh, listen, God's brought us this victory. Now, if we want to continue to experience the blessings of God and to be used of God, we as men need to make this decision as fathers, as husbands, as these spiritual leaders that God has established in His Word of God. We need to determine as dads, as husbands, as leaders, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Amen. And preach a message. Choose, dad. Amen. Choose not to lose. You know the problem in society today? We're content with losing. Who's with me? We become content, inundated with all of these philosophies out there. And as a result, America has lost its competitive edge. I mean, that's what our president's trying to reinstitute, to get the competitive edge back into America, whether you voted for him or not, whether you agree with him or not, you can sense that he seems to be sincere and is a patriot. He loves this country. Amen. But oh, listen, it doesn't matter what that man says. If we don't have men in this country, fathers, husbands, dads, that determine in their heart that they're going to choose not to lose. Amen. Don't be content with just being average. Don't be content with just being, you know, an individual going through the motions and just managing your losses in a way that you can live with yourself. Are you with me? Say amen. And so the admonition from the man of God here in this passage of Scripture was to the men. We need to determine We've had the victory. The power of God has been bestowed upon us in allowing us to have this victory. We didn't build these houses. We didn't till this land. God sent a bunch of hornets out there and drove the people away. We have the opportunity. God has given us a church, a country, established some things. And if we're going to continue to experience the liberties and the freedoms that God intends for us to have in our life, we need to have a generation of men that'll choose not to lose. Amen. Choose not to lose your faith in God. Who's with me? Say amen. Choose not to lose. Have the conviction in your heart, in your soul, and in your life that you're not going to allow anything to rob you of your faith in God. Amen. Where's your faith? Where's the faith that God has established in our lives? No, listen, we ought to determine in our heart that we are going to put everything on the table and trust God with our life, with our actions, with our abilities, with our associations and things of such like. Don't choose not to lose your faith in God. How many dads have got discouraged and quit church? Say amen right there. How many dads have got discouraged and stopped coming to Sunday night service? Stop coming to Wednesday. Stop sowing. Stop reading the Bibles. Where's your faith in God? Amen. Joshua recognized the importance of having that faith. Of having the faith to serve the Lord. Don't serve the God of the Ammonites. Don't serve the gods that are out there designed to overthrow our faith in God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Choose not to lose your faith. The thing that God has established in your heart, in your life, the call of God, the service of God. Amen. Oh, listen, God has called us as men, as dads, as husbands, to serve the Lord. You may not be a preacher, you may not be an evangelist, you may not be a missionary, but God has called every single one of us as the spiritual leader in our home to serve the Lord. Amen. And to be faithful to God. My dad got saved back in 1974, August the 4th. I know the date, know the time, remember the day. It was during a vacation Bible school. And he was driving bus. We had just started going to church. Somebody went to him and asked him if, and he had a CDL, asked him if he would drive a bus picking up kids for vacation Bible school. And he started doing that and got under conviction. And the bus director led him to Christ. And I remember that night, I was probably about 15 years old, maybe 16. I was working there in the vacation Bible school, maintaining my position. It was a Western theme. I had my six guns on. And I had my hat, my scarf, boots. And I was all decked out for the part. And I was a manly man, young man. And my job was to work the cotton candy machine. Cotton candy machine. And so that's where I was positioned. And I'm working the cotton candy machine, passing out cotton candy. There was a man in our church who had a station wagon. And on that station wagon, he had a PA system. And we used that to direct the kids, to tell them where to go. You know, we'd get, all right, everybody, come up. Here you go. And, you know, so. And I'm standing there, handing out cotton candy. All of a sudden, I hear, we got an announcement. What's the announcement? This is Jerry Murphy. Over the PA system. I just trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. told the whole people. Who's with me? Say amen. Oh, listen, you talk about a man of faith. And took a bus route. Worked that bus route for 37 years. Who's with me? Say amen. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about faith. Amen. I'm about faith in God. And he worked that round. And we served the Lord. Saturday, 6-7 hours. Sunday, pick the kids up. Bring them to church. We'd run into Minneapolis. We'd have to leave early. Bring them back. Drop them off. Come back home. Get home about 4:30, 5 o'clock. We didn't have time for a hot meal. We didn't have time for a nap. We didn't have time to watch a football game. We had enough time to eat a sandwich. Get freshened up. And back in church that night. Church on Wednesday night. Soul winning on Thursday. Youth activity Friday. And the sacrifice to keep us in the Christian school. What am I talking about? Choose not to lose your faith. Serve God. Serve God. Oh, listen. We're handing our young people over to the world left and right because dads aren't serving the Lord. They're serving themselves. Say amen right there, even if it kills you. But I had the opportunity of being raised by a man. My mom and dad have been married 60 years. Amen. In discipline. I wasn't in the military. But my dad was in the military. I felt like I was raised in the military. He's in that gray area of old school and caveman. And very disciplined and in things. And before he got saved, he did have quite a temper. Amen. And he would teach us boys how to fight, how to box. And we would go to the boxing gym with him and all of that. And when he was upset with us, he would put on the gloves and he would spar with us. Now, boys, I'm just sparring. Pow! Okay. Whatever. But, faith in God. Serving the Lord. Men don't serve God like that anymore. They're too interested in themselves. And what do they use? Their family as an excuse. The bottom line is you're too lazy to serve God. You're just too lazy to drive a bus and to work a bus route and to find a ministry and to get involved and to do the things of God. Amen. Raise up young men that'll be the type of father that God wants you to be and determined to choose not to lose. Don't be content with just giving up and being a loser. Society's filled up with loser dads. Are you with me? Choose not to lose your family. What did Joshua say? As for me and my house. Who's with me? He said, my house. I mean, listen, he made an individual decision in his own personal life that I'm going to choose not to lose my faith. I'm saved. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt if I died, and I'm going to choose not to lose my faith. I'm not going to let anybody talk me out of my faith and the service and the work and the things that God wants me to do with my life. But not just that. I'm going to have my family serving the Lord. Amen. But oh, listen, dads are content with just giving up on their kids. Dads are content with just losing their children. And when their child goes off and they live for the devil and they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing or joining up, I don't know how many times I've seen it. They'll have their kids in church when they're little, but they get older and they decide, you know, I don't really want to be an independent fundamental Baptist. I want to go over here and join this progressive church. And the dad will say, well, to keep our family together, we're just going to go over there with them. You just chose to lose. Amen. You just chose to lose. You don't compromise your faith. You don't compromise your family Just because you've got a kid, a young person, that's not on the same page, scripturally, biblically, serving God, the wayward son, the prodigal son went away, but the father didn't go after him. He gave him to God. And he faithfully prayed for him to come home. And he had the compassion. He maintained his post as father. He maintained his position as spiritual leader and godly husband. He wasn't going to go the way of his wayward children. Choose not to lose your family. As for me in my house, I remember 15 years old, I'm laying in bed, enjoying the sun. It's a Saturday morning. Sleeping in a little bit. My dad barges in, kicks me out of bed. I'm laying on the floor, wondering what happened. I said, "Dad, what's the problem?" He said, "Son, God has just called you into the bus ministry." That's how I was my introduction into the service of the Lord. And now I've been preaching evangelism now for 31 years. My dad's 80 years old. Now, 2 months ago, he just suffered a mini stroke. But before that time, he was driving a Sunday school bus. 80 years old. Who's with me? And two of the workers on that Sunday school bus were his grandchildren. My children, my son Seth, my daughter Michaela, worked on that bus route. Third generation bus workers. Oh, listen, neighbor. You better choose not to lose your faith. Establish yourself, your family, in the faith of God, and choose not to lose your family. Fight with every last ounce of fight you've got in yourself to preserve a godly heritage in your family. I've preached for Brother Bragg. I've preached for Brother Bragg since 1988. How old were you then? 6 years old, 1988. I started preaching for him. And he's still pastoring, still doing a great job, still serving the Lord. And a godly example, great father, great individual. And he's got a son serving God in Arkansas, Texas, and him and his daughter. And serving the next generation, bringing their children up for the glory of God. Has they had problems? Has they had situations? But there they are, serving God. Choose not to lose your family. Amen. You say, "Well, my kids are grown. They're off on their own. They're doing their own thing." You know, there's young people here that may not have a dad. That could use a godly example. Adopt one of these people. Amen. I'm talking about a spiritual adoption. Amen. To spend some time with them. To show some concern with them. And to see them grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You can still have the victory and still have the influence on the next generation if you just choose not to lose and be content with the loss. Amen? Choose not to lose your faith. Choose not to lose your family. Choose not to lose the fight. Amen. I'm a half Irish, half Norwegian preacher with a hockey player's mentality. I grew up in Minnesota. My dad taught me how to fight. Amen. And he taught me how to fight with honor. Amen. Not to brutalize people. Not to bully people. But just to stand up. If you have to stand up, you got to stand up. Amen. He taught me that you use your fight not to exalt yourself, but you use it to help the weak. Amen. And there's been several times I've gotten in fights because somebody's been picking on a little kid. And I've stepped in. Amen. And, you know, don't do that. Stop. Of course, bullies are going to try to do things and things of that nature. My dad never taught me to stand there and talk. He never taught me to stand there and push. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I never pushed them back. Never. They pushed me and asked me what I was going to do. Pow! I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And they're on the ground. Amen. But what about our faith? What about our family? What about that fight? Oh, you know why the homosexuals are overrunning this country? Are you with me? Huh? Oh, listen, they never had anybody teach them how to fight. Fight for what's right. Fight for godliness. Fight for holiness. To take a stand. As Paul said, I have fought a good fight. That didn't mean he went out looking for a fight or picking a fight. But he has took a stand for righteous godliness. Sometimes in your home, Dad, you're going to have to lay down the law. And it may cause a fight. It may cause a fight with your kids. It may cause a fight with your wife. She may not agree with it. But you've got to establish some things. You've got to establish some things. And stop letting your wife run you. Learn how to fight. I'm talking about taking a stand. I'm not talking about hitting your wife. I mean, that is the ultimate of cowardice. To hit a woman. Who in their right mind hit a woman? That's wicked. That's filth. I took my mom. Her laundry films were broken down. I took my mom. This is back when I was about 18 years old. I took her to the laundromat. And my brother was with me. And we're sitting in the laundromat. And all of a sudden, I hear my brother hollering, Daryl, 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 Daryl. I look out the window, and there's this big old guy chasing my brother around his truck. He's chasing him around the truck. And so I stepped out there, and my brother ran by me, and I stood there, and the guy saw me and stopped. I said, what's your problem, man? What is your problem? He took a karate stance. I know karate! I said, that's great, man. I know Smith and Wesson. I didn't have a gun on me, but I just... He didn't know how to take that. He just turned around, got in the truck, drove out. I said, Jeff, what are you doing? He said, well, when I walked by that truck, that man was hitting that woman. And I took my fist and I pounded on the hood of his car. Stop doing that! He didn't like to see that happen. And so he jumped out and was going to beat my brother up. But I stepped in and I had to intervene. But what I'm saying is you don't hit women. Amen? And but you ought to have some fight in you. Say, honey, this is what we believe. This is the stand we're taking. This is what I'm taking. This is a stand. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It was an individual decision. It was an inclusive decision. His family. It was an immediate decision. He didn't hesitate. It was an ironclad decision. We will go to church. We will have family altar. We will read our Bibles. We will do what's right. Choose not to lose. Don't lose your fight. Don't lose your family. Don't lose your faith in what God wants. God will give us the victory and the revival that we need. Father, thank you for your love. Help us, dear God, to choose not to lose. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you say, I needed that message? Lift your hand big and high all over the auditorium. And dads and even mothers can have that decision. And how about you young people? I'm going to choose not to lose. Lift your hand up big and high. I'm going to choose not to lose. You may put your hands down. What about your faith? Are you saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt? Listen to me. Are you serving God? Are you separated from the world? Have you been baptized? Have you been baptized? Have you joined the church? What are you doing? By being disobedient, you chose to lose. You made a decision. I'm just going to be content with just, you know, being a loser. Choose not to lose. Moses told Joshua, God wants you to lead the children of Israel. And Joshua took that as the call of God. And God used Joshua to lead the children of Israel. And then told him, last thing, hey, listen, don't serve the God of the Ammonites. Don't serve the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That ought to be the motto of every father. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, you've seen the hands. Bless the invitation. Let's have everyone stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The music begins to play. You come on the first note. Don't tarry, don't delay. Why don't you come? Even you young men that aren't even married, that's the type of father you ought to pray to be. You ought to be on the altar praying. Help me not to choose. Help me not to be content with just losing. It's Father's Day. Thank God they've established a day for fathers. And we need to have men. I'm talking about some men like Joshua and Caleb. Lead the people of God in the way that God wants us to go. God spoke to your heart. You need to come. Don't tarry. Don't delay. Come right now. I'm going to choose not to lose. Be the man of God that God wants me to be. God spoke to your heart. You come. Would you do it?